You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas, and we're going through the book of Genesis when we left off at Genesis, about chapter 26 and verse 28. Isaac said unto them, "Wherefore come ye out, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you?" And they said, we saw certainly that Yahuwah was with you. So did they really hate? They didn't feel hatred. They sent him away because they feared him more than anything. And they also saw that, as they're saying here, Yahuwah was with you. And we said, let there now be an oath between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now blessed of Yahuwah. You are now blessed of the Lord. And they see that. And they did send him away in peace, perhaps out of fear, because of the strength and the riches and the number of his household. So Esau was 40 years old when he took a wife. And it came to pass in the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." And he called it Sheba, therefore the name of the city of Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemoth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. So here we have Esau, and he takes two wives, and it grieved his mother and his father. So apparently, he doesn't care much what his mother and father thinks. He's his own man. He goes out and he gets the meat, and everybody praises him for that, and he just does what he wants. He doesn't care much. Just a demonstration. He didn't care about the birthright. He didn't care about the promised seed. He didn't care about eternal life. He does not care much for anything but his present life in the flesh, the creation. And he takes these wives without his parents' permission, obviously, and they're grieved. They were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah that he took these strange wives. Esau had to know, because as they go through why they took a wife, they wouldn't take a wife of the nations around them, of the heathen around them. But Esau was his own man. Two Hittite wives. And you'll notice that it was common for a man to take more than one wife in those days. And so far, we haven't seen a law against it. A lot of people say there's a law in the New Testament, but no one's been able to show me that yet. Well, that forbids a man from taking more than one wife. And also they point to the troubles that, you know, some of the patriarchs had in their families. And they say that the reason for the troubles was they had more than one wife. Well, if that's an argument against a man having more than one wife, then nobody should have any wives, because look at all the trouble in marriage, in monogamous marriage today in America and throughout history. You know, marriage is just trouble. And so if you have two wives, you double your trouble. Yeah. Okay. So, but that's not a very good argument, and it has nothing to do with the law and the law of the Holy Scripture. And that's what I care about, what the Word says, not what some people imagine or what kind of logic you can come up with. I do like logic. It's a good thing, though. And, you know, even Paul says it's better to remain unmarried, you know, because you'll have trouble in this life. You'll have tribulation that comes with marriage. It's just part of the package. So it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said to him, "My son." And he said unto him, "Behold, here am I, father." And we're in Genesis 27, verse 1. And he said, "Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, I pray thee, take thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out in the field, and take me some venison, and make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau his son. And Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spoke to Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak to Esau thy brother, saying, Bring venison and make me savory meat that I may eat and bless thee before Yahuwah, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Now go to the flock and fetch me from thence 2 good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And you shall bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah's mother, Behold, Esau, my brother is hairy, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father peradventure will feel me, and shall seem to me to be as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. Right away, Jacob's worried that he's going to be cursed instead of blessed. So what happens next? And his mother said to him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared unto the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art you, my son? And, you know, Isaac is blind and probably a little hard of hearing, too, but he can't see. And so when Jacob comes in and says, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done according to as you biddest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat my venison, that thy soul may bless me. Now, you know, what's Isaac to think? And Isaac said to his son, How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? And he said, Because Yahuwah, thy God, brought it to me. And Isaac said to Jacob, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near into Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Well, I'm telling you, Esau must have been one hairy man. If the goats of the goat skins, if he had skin like the skin of goats, and he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother's Esau's hands, so he blessed him. Now, I've heard a lot of people criticize Jacob for what he did, and he acted in obedience to his mother, so we give him a point there, and he was upholding, you know, what was his. And basically what we have here is we have a war, really. And that's what we have, a war. And, you know, there's a saying, and there's a lot of truth to that saying, that all is fair in love and war. And there's some truth to that, although I wouldn't, you know, take that as doctrine. But is deception ever appropriate? Now, that's the real question. And I've heard people quote the Ten Commandments, and they go, Thou shalt not lie. And I got out the book and I looked at the Ten Commandments and, you know, I couldn't find that commandment anywhere. Does that mean that we should lie? Well, there may be circumstances where it may be appropriate to lie. I know now I know I'm breaking every rule of the corporate church and especially of the state because they want you to always tell the truth. And one thing you must understand is there are consequences to lying, even if your motivation is right. If you walk into a courtroom today and you lie, though your motivation may be right, or your lie, you may be lying righteously. Can you lie righteously? Was he doing righteousness when he lied? I guess that's the real question. And this is something to discuss. Is telling the truth always required? Well, I don't know. Let's say that you were a follower of the way, a true Christian in Nazi Germany. And you see that the SS is coming around and rounding up your friends, and some of them are Jews, and some of them are outspoken against the Nazi party. They may be true Christians or whatever. Now, when the Nazi comes to your door and says, do you know where, you know, Hans is? And you know that Hans is, they're going to kill Hans. You know that Hans is going to be dragged off to the concentration camps and probably die. Or maybe he's just going to be shot outright. And you know Hans is a good man, and he has done nothing worthy of death. And you also know where Hans is. Do you say, well, I cannot tell a lie. Yes, Hans is hiding, you know, there's a little hole under the dumpster across the street, and Hans is hiding there. And so they walk over there and they shoot Hans. Have you done a righteous thing by telling the truth? No, you have done an unrighteous thing by telling the truth. The truth is not always required. And sometimes it's better just to, well, sometimes you have to lie. Yeah, because if you say, no, I don't know where Hans is, you're lying. You're a liar. You're breaking the, well, there is no commandment that says thou shalt not lie. Sorry, and I've heard people quote that and say, the commandment says thou shalt not lie, and all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. Now, I have read that all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. But if you tell a lie under certain circumstances, does that make you a liar? Well, liar is like a title. That's if you're a liar, that means you practice lying. You love a lie. Now, can you lie and hate lying? Well, yes, you should. Under the circumstances where the SS is coming to your door, or the inquisitors of the future come to your door because they're enforcing the mark of the beast, and they catch you, and they want you to give up your neighbor, and you know where your neighbor is, you could give him up, but you're going to die anyway. Or perhaps they'll say, we'll let you live if you give in your neighbor. Well, and you lie to him. You know, are you now a liar who's going to have his part in the lake of fire? I don't think so. Do you love lying? No, you hate it. You don't want to lie. But there are circumstances where you have to lie. Now let's talk about what the commandment does say. The commandment, this is dangerous information. For people who want to lie, you know, they don't really need this as an excuse to lie, but they could. They could say, well, I have an excuse that, you know, I can lie under, but, you know, let every man judge himself. And then, you know, and then you judge yourself according to the Spirit, according to the Word. You judge yourself and judge yourself righteously. Because there are some people you should never lie to. You should never lie to someone who has a valid authority over you. But we see the opposite here. We see, and then it's even a judgment call. So, because, you know, we have Jacob lying to his father. Isn't he lying? But he's upholding a truth by lying. Is that a possibility? Can you uphold the truth by telling a lie? Because the truth is he owned the birthright. The truth is that Esau sold it to him. Did Esau tell his father? Well, maybe, you know, I don't know whether Isaac heard about this or not. He probably heard whisperings of it, probably didn't want to believe it about Esau, the son that he favored. You know, we have ways of thinking what we want to think. And that's probably what Esau was thinking, ways that he wanted to think. You know, here's a man of faith. You know, the son of Abraham, perhaps his faith was not the same as Abraham's. It's not demonstrated so much what Isaac's faith is. But here he is in the lineage, and this seems to say something about Isaac, how he favors Esau, because Esau is the life of the party. Esau is the favored son. Esau is the one who brings, you know, the meat for the barbecue home. And man, then it's time to party and have, you know, barbecues are fun. Everybody gets around, you have fun, you have meat, you have a fire. People are telling stories, they're singing songs, whatever they're doing. And so Isaac favors Esau. So it's a judgment call. And the commandment does not say, thou shalt not lie. The commandment says, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. It is very carefully and perfectly worded. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie to cause your neighbor harm. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. But we see that's practiced today. That's just the way they do it in the justice system of the world today, isn't it? You see it demonstrated on the TV. They falsify information to railroad innocent people. That is bearing false witness against your neighbor, making an accusation against your neighbor that's not true, to do him harm, to put him in prison, to cause him to be put to death, whatever. That's bearing false witness against your neighbor. And you can see why there's a commandment against that. It is an egregious sin. It is the epitome, and it defines hating your neighbor. It is the opposite of loving your neighbor as yourself. Because you wouldn't lie against yourself to put yourself in prison, would you? Well, you might, but you can do that to yourself because it's yourself. It's not against your neighbor. You may take the fault for someone else to spare someone else the punishment and take it upon yourself. People could do that out of love, but they wouldn't be bearing false witness against their neighbor. They would be bearing false witness against themselves. The commandment doesn't say that. So there may be an appropriate time to lie. In war, you can lie. You can lie to save your neighbor and your family. I would in a minute. Can we lie to our enemy? Yes, we can lie to our enemy. There's no requirement to tell your enemy the truth, but here's the rule. The rule is that from the lips of Yahushua himself, he said, be wise as a serpent, but harmless as a dove. So if you lie, no harm should come from it to anyone. And that's, you know, I'm not giving anyone just a license to go out there and lie about anything, because you should hate it. If you're in a position where you have to lie and you love it, because he who loves and makes a lie, you know, that's part of the title of being a liar, that all liars shall have their place in the lake of fire. You have to be really very careful with this kind of information. Very careful. It's not something to be taken lightly. So his father says to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And Jacob came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. You know, everyone has their own smell about them, and it gets on your clothing. And if you're close to someone, you know their smell. I mean, I don't get that close to, you know, but to my own children, yes, I would be that close. To my wife, I would be that close that, you know, I would know because, well, I don't smoke and my nose works pretty good. My smeller smells pretty good. And so he smelled the smell of his clothing. Yeah, this smells like Esau. And he blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which Yahuwah hath blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac. You know, Jacob's probably, okay, I want the blessing, but hurry up. Because he's afraid, you know, that Esau, because Esau is a fearful man. I mean, he was a man to be afraid of. And we learn that because he was a hunter. He's big, macho, strong, you know. And Jacob, you know, he hung around the camp, man. And, you know, he worked there hard, I'm sure. But, you know, he did a different kind of work. I mean, I used to do construction. I used to, you know, be a lot more buff than I am right now because I've been out of construction for, a good 15 years. So I don't get that workout, you know. And yesterday I spent 10 hours studying and researching. And just a different lifestyle. And you have to be careful when you change your lifestyle like that. You've got to stop eating as much. You can't just carry on. You have to use wisdom in your life. So I've changed my diet quite a bit in the last 15 years and have continued to change it just so I don't blow up like a balloon, you know, and as I get older, it's easy to do. And the reason that, you know, I observe, I see it happen to other people and around me. So I think, well, I have to act wisely. And this is the kind of discipline that I believe comes with following the Spirit, where we don't give in to appetite like Esau did, that we aren't driven by our appetite, that we practice discipline, that we practice self-discipline or self-government. We govern our own lives. We govern our appetite. We tell our appetite. We shape our appetite rather than allowing our appetite to shape us. As you see what happens, you know, if you wonder what happens when your appetite shapes you, just look around. It ain't too hard to figure out. And, you know, don't want to go that way. We want to use wisdom in our lives, especially if we want to live long. So it came to pass, soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out of the camp. I mean, he just escaped from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. And he also made savory meat and brought it to his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac, his father, said unto him, who are you? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou came and have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great exceeding bitter cry. And he said to his father, bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety. See, now the gig is up. He knows this. It was Jacob's voice, but the smell, and it felt like Esau, you know. And he did as I commanded you, Esau, to do. How did this happen? But he realized now that he was deceived, that thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing. And, you know, you recognize the word subtlety, that he came with subtlety. And that was something that was used to describe the serpent in the garden. Subtlety. Deception. Yes, he came with deception. He's taken away thy blessing. But deception is an art of war. Deception, by deception, if you take what belongs to you by deception, have you done wrong? That's the question. If I, by deception, take that which belongs to me, have I harmed anyone? Someone steals something from me, and they're big and they're strong, but then I take it back by deception. How about if I keep what is mine by deception? If I prevent others from taking it away from me by deception, have I done wrong? That's the question. Did Jacob do wrong by taking that which belonged to him by deception? It's unfortunate. And Jacob, you could tell, he didn't like it at all. He was fearful. He was fearful that he would be cursed. But he gave in to his mother, and he obeyed her voice. And he took what belonged to him, though he took it by deception. So yes, you can take what belongs to you by deception, because it doesn't break the rule that you do no harm, because he did harm no one. He took from Esau what Esau thought he was going to steal from Jacob. See, Esau knew it didn't belong to him, but he was going to take it anyway because he could, because of the circumstance. He had no intention of giving up the birthright, even though he despised it, even though he already agreed. He swore, and Jacob was holding him to his word. Jacob and his mother were going to hold Esau to his word, and they did, even though they had to deceive to take it. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'll be back in about 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere. And tell a friend about Cross the Border. They can listen anytime at crosstheborder.org.